Well, Vern, yeah? It's the Halloween season.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be no Halloween without the story of a bumbling, lovable man and his fight with some pretty damn intimidating trolls.
It's true.
This is the story of Ernest, Scared Stupid. This is Toys R Us.
My pet monster.
Frankenberry.
Count Chocula.
And Blueberry.
How about a bumper sandwich, booger lips?
It's the most fun in the park. When you're laughing in the dark.
That began the nightmare on my street.
Weezy, it's just a game, isn't it?
The Addams Family.
Tales from the Crypt.
They say he's tired of his flaming top. He's got a yen to make a swap. So he rides one night each year to find a head in the hollow here.
Anything can happen on Halloween.
I put a spell on you. Because
dig it.
Hello, and welcome back to the 13 Days of Halloween. Spooky.
Ernest P. Worrell.
Oh, don't like that.
No.
Do not like that. It's a little bit too spooky for my bones.
It's a little too spooky for me.
Yeah, too spooky for me. So yeah, welcome back to the 13 Days of Halloween.
Hello, hello.
Our Halloween extravaganza. Bringing you the history of pieces of Halloween media that made your childhood spooky and memorable.
Because, I mean, if you're not spooky, I don't want to be friends.
That's true.
I'm just saying.
It's true.
Sorry, not sorry.
I hold a very high standard.
It is.
Okay. My name is Richard Hunt, and with me, as always, is my cousin and co-host, Brian Muth.
Also known as the Spooktacular... I didn't really think this out. Hi!
He didn't.
Hi, how you doing, people?
That was a bad improv class.
Yeah, that was... Well, at least I'm not like Michael Scott, and I turn everything into an FBI bit.
That's true. But that wasn't even, like, Second City. That was, like, 30 Second City.
30 Seconds.
You're like, oh. Spooktacular...
I got nothing.
Drop the ball on that one.
Yeah.
Brian, today we will be talking about a particular favorite of mine, and that is Ernest, Scared Stupid.
It is fantastic.
Now, this is a bit of a special episode because it will only be about Ernest, Scared Stupid, not the entire history of Ernest.
Right.
Because, to be frank, Jim Varney deserves an episode of his own.
He really does.
Yeah, I'm not gonna...
I mean, goddamn.
I'm not going to skip over Ernest.
No, we can't minimize the legacy of Jim Varney because...
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that, like, he's probably not everybody's cup of tea, but, you know, he was just such a cool fucking dude.
Yeah.
So, dude gets his own episode.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the only... because Stone Cold said so.
Oh, that's the bottom line.
Yep.
Rudy Poo. Candy ass. That being said, are you ready to carve our way into this pumpkin?
I'm ready to make them eat bumper booger lips.
Oh, hell yes. Let's do it.
Do it.
Just gather around and I'll elucidate on what goes on outside when it gets late.
Come on, do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. My pussy and my crack.
What about your neck and your back?
You know what?
You're like, I'm okay.
Just the pussy and the crack right now, please.
Okay.
There were a number of kids' movies in the 80s and 90s starring the character of Ernest P. Worrell, portrayed by the late and great Jim Varney.
Emphasis on the great.
Oh, yes. Such as Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Saves Christmas, and Ernest Goes to Jail.
But we don't talk about Ernest Goes to Africa, though.
Oh, no, no, no. Let's just pretend that
one didn't happen.
Yeah. However, the one that has most stood the test of time, takes us to October 11th, 1991.
Boy, what a good year that was.
I was 3, so...
Yeah, I was 10.
I don't remember.
That's cool.
I don't remember it. I was 3 years old. It's Ernest Halloween Adventure, released theatrically under Disney's Touchstone Pictures label.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those guys.
Yeah. Shot entirely in Nashville, Tennessee, Ernest Scared Stupid was Hocus Pocus before Hocus Pocus was Hocus Pocus.
It's true. Oh, you took the words right out of my brain.
Must have been while you were kissing me. Just do that.
Nice.
Okay. Stop it. Just as disallowed. All right, computer. Okay. Why don't you fucking settle down there?
This is Assassin's Creed desynchronizing.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, an ancient evil is awakened at Halloween, and our heroes must stop it before Halloween is over. Sound familiar?
As ancient evils are wont to do.
That's true. If you're most people, this probably sounds like the plot of Hocus Pocus. Hocus Potus.
Hocus Potus. We do have a pumpkin-shaped POTUS. Oh.
That's fucking hilarious.
Oh.
But Hocus Pocus is the movie that most people nowadays point to as the gold standard of nostalgic Halloween entertainment.
It's true. It's definitely taken the thunder away from
a lot of things. Ernest. A lot of fucking things. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a great movie. For sure.
Yeah.
But it's up there with, like, Nightmare Before Christmas, where you're just like, alright, dude, fucking, I get it. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you also got the other kind of classics, like Halloween Town and things like that.
Yep.
The fucking Goosebumps episode with the...
Haunted Mask and Carly Beth? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Carly Beth.
Carly fucking Beth. Carly fucking Beth. Though the outcomes of the two movies are very different, the basic plot of the movies is the same. Just swap out the witches in Hocus Pocus for the trolls, and you have Ernest Scared Stupid.
Pretty much. And it has... Ernest, unfortunately, has 100% less Doug Jones.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, that's the only edge, I think, that Hocus Pocus might have.
You know what?
Although Bette Midler is pretty rad.
She is.
And it's funny how fucking Sarah Jessica Parker actually morphed into an actual witch.
Oh! Are you surprised, though? She married Matthew Broderick. Yeah. And he killed the guy.
That's enough to suck anybody's soul out.
Jesus. Matthew Broderick and, like, Mark Wahlberg are the same actor. Just imagine Matthew Broderick in The Happening. You're like, what? No.
Matthew Broderick and Ted.
Oh my god, dude.
I can't imagine him doing the Thunder Buddies song.
No.
No.
No, but look, it's like this thing that's going around Twitter. It's like, Matthew Broderick could do Ted, but Marky Mark could not do Cable Guy.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Which I think is probably the crown jewel in Matthew Broderick's career. IMDb page, you know?
Is the Cable Guy?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
I'll agree with that, because, like, my dad and I were having this discussion the other day when we were watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's like, man, I used to, like, idolize Ferris Bueller. And then I realized
Ferris Bueller is an asshole.
He's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a cunt.
And I'm like, man, I completely see where Cameron's coming from now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm 100% Team Cameron.
That's the thing, is like...
Let my Cameron go.
you grow up when you're, like, watching Little Mermaid, you're like, yeah, she's 16, okay, she's an adult, leave her alone. And then you grow up and you're like, wow, fucking stay in your lane there, okay?
Sit your fucking fishy ass down.
I'm gonna get fucking grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller, not a good guy.
No, he's a cunt.
Just like Matthew Broderick.
Synchronicity.
And, you know, Matthew Broderick killed somebody, which we will discuss, I would assume, probably in the Inspector Gadget episode.
Yeah.
Kill the guy. And kill the girl. Oh, wow.
Got away with Jennifer Grey. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
He killed somebody. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's true!
to the task at hand.
Not to say that an unlikely hero saving the day is an entirely unique concept, but the similarities between the two are staggering.
Yes.
For example, at the opening sequence of each film, both films begin in a Puritan times with a little girl being attacked by the film's antagonist. Both films then cut to the antagonist threatening the townsfolk with a curse as they're being sentenced for their crime. After this, both films then cut to the future, where we find out that what we had just seen was actually a story being told in a classroom.
Which I can totally understand, because, man, fuck Puritans. Those guys were dicks.
Yeah.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
You're like, yes, actually, I would.
I think I would, thank you.
The similarities are such that you might think that Ernest Scared Stupid stole from Hocus Pocus, if not for the fact that Scared Stupid hadn't come out 2 years earlier.
Boom!
Which is just like... And it's not unlike Disney to rip off their own things.
Right. No,
right?
It's not.
Because...
Although now it is.
True. But back in the day, it's like... Oh, you got... The Baloo from the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
He's also just going to be the bear in Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Like, they just use the same character models and, like, same animation frames. You're like...
No, absolutely they did.
Okay.
There's a really nice YouTube video about that.
Yeah.
About how they reused the animations in various movies.
You're like, oh, well, you know what? Can't hate on the ingenuity.
No.
Scared Stupid is directed by longtime Ernest director John R. Cherry III, which is just a hell of a name.
That is a hell of a name. That's like a...
But he sounds like he'd own a candy store.
I was going to say a plantation.
Hmm.
That's a little darker.
That is a little darker.
Yeah, I think I like your interpretation better.
Yeah, John R. Cherry III. Come on down to John R. Cherry III's.
We've got the best penny candy around.
Man. All right. Penny candies. Hmm. The plot of Scared Stupid is so earnest that literally only he could pull it off.
Oh.
Its opening credits feature a montage of clips from various horror and science fiction films, including Nosferatu, White Zombie, Phantom from Space, The Brain from Planet Eros, The Screaming Skull, Missile to the Moon, The Hideous Sun Demon, The Giant Gila Monster, The Killer Shrews, Battle Beyond the Sun, and The Little Shop of Horrors, like the OG one.
Oh, the OG one.
From 1960.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
Ernest P. Worrell, lovable oaf and friend to the downtrodden children, is working as a sanitation engineer in the small Midwestern town of Briarville.
Now, that is an excellent descriptor for him, an oaf.
Yeah, he's
But, like,
an oaf.
Not in a bad...
No. He's like... Fucking...
He's like the everyman that's in every town that's just, you know, good-natured, potentially maybe a little on the slower side.
Yeah.
But he means well.
Yeah, he's no, like...
There's no malice.
Yes. Yeah. He's working as a sanitation engineer in a small Midwestern town of Briarville, where his ancestors were once intelligent leaders of the community. However, when Reverend Phineas P. Worrell defeated Trantor the Troll in the late 1800s, his bloodline was cursed with degrading intelligence, eventually leading to one of his stupid descendants freeing the troll. We get to see Ernest's mouth-breathing idiocy in action, and within the first 10 minutes, he almost dies in a traction packer.
Jesus.
He's like, turn off the trash compactors on the detention level.
Detention level. 3PO!
God. He's rescued by the sheriff's son, Kenny, and his girlfriend, Elizabeth. Two kids who get abused by the mayor's bully children.
Fuck bullies, man.
Fuck bullies.
Fuck bullies.
Fuck kids. In an attempt to turn the tables on the junior jerks, Ernest helps his young friends build a treehouse full of food-fighting assault weapons. Of course, the tree is currently trapping Trantor, and he is released through Ernest's obliviousness.
Oh.
Upon his release, Trantor makes haste in building a troll army. He must abduct 5 children by midnight, turning each into a wooden doll and placing them into his tree, which results in trolls growing like blossoms from the branches. Ernest manages to escape the treehouse as Trantor flees, but the troll nabs Joey, one of just the throwaway friends of Kenny and Elizabeth. You know, like, you're the weakest actor in the cast if, like, 5 minutes in you turn to a wooden statue and then that's it.
Do you ever notice, though, that, like, the way the trolls reproduce is eerily similar to Cabbage Patch Kids? I wonder if they're, like, some kind of, like, distant relation.
That's a good point.
Kind of like the Goa'uld and Tok'ra in Stargate SG-1. Like, they're both like those snake dudes, but one are cool snake dudes and the other are like not cool snake dudes.
Dick snake dudes. Sounds like... I don't even know what that sounds like.
A porn band? Yeah, porn band.
A porn band version of the Backstreet Boys.
The dick snake dudes.
Am I sexual? All right.
Okay.
Meanwhile, old lady Hackmore, played by fucking legend, and back on the episode, or back on an episode so soon, or the kid.
Yeah.
Local folklorist and industrial artist, who scolds Ernest for his ineptitude and convinces him to become a troll hunter. He purchases a surplus of novelty supplies from local pawnbrokers, the Tulip Brothers, which includes a giant album of every troll love song ever written.
I didn't know trolls had love songs. Dude, it would take, like, zero convincing to be like, hey, Brian, you want to be a troll hunter? Fuck
yes. Yeah, I'd be like, come on.
Be like, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
Do I get a crossbow?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I want a crossbow like Chewbacca, though.
Oh, yeah, like the bowcaster.
You know?
Just blow dudes in half.
Oh, you're like, oh, shit.
It's like, wow. Okay.
The kids now look for Joey back at the treehouse, where the forest now contains a typo negative video level of floor fog, and discover the wooden replica. They retreat to Old Lady Hackmore's house, where Ernest is showing off his ignorance, and Trantor abducts another random child.
Jeez.
Hackmore.
Really easy.
I mean, hell, you know? It's just like, whatever. It was the fucking early 90s.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody watched nobody back then.
No. Hackmore studies the riddle at the heart of stopping Trantor, and Ernest sets elaborate traps about town while Kenny desperately seeks the help of his father. At Kenny's behest, Elizabeth hides out at home, trying to avoid the town's big Halloween party.
Smart.
Despite her protest, Elizabeth's mother does not believe the legend of the troll, and she unwittingly subjects her daughter to what appears to be troll assault. Because, like, she's like, Mom, I think there's something underneath my bed. And
like,
the mom's like, no, come on. Just, everything's fine.
Come on, do it.
So, she gets up the strength to look underneath the bed. Nothing's there. And she turns around, and Trantor is on her bed, like, just laying there with, like, holding his head up, looking at her, and I'm like, oh.
Ooh,
no.
That's a big bag of do-not-want.
Yeah. Troll assault. At this point, the film is fattened up with pratfalls, meandering jokes, troll grunts, and foreshadowing. Using his ability to mimic voices, however, Trantor nearly catches Kenny, the voice of Elizabeth echoing from the mouth of his, like...
Almost got him.
That's just one of those things, like, in any piece of media where someone can mimic someone's voice, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, that's freaking T-1000 Sarah Connor shit.
Yes. Yes. You're like, no.
No.
And then if you've seen the Blair Witch, like, the most recent movie...
Oh, I haven't.
Which you should, dude.
Is it good?
I love it, man.
Dude, bother.
The Blair Witch can mimic people's voices.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm like,
okay. Okay, I'm gonna on-demand that shit then.
Yeah, honestly, you should. I saw it in theaters. There was like three people in the theater.
Really?
Because I went early in the day and like...
Well, that's the best time to go.
The day after it came out is on a Friday, just like 10 or 11 a.m. And it's like...
Nice.
The sound design.
I think that's what I'm gonna do for It.
Yeah.
Is go Tuesday.
Yeah. The sound design on the like most recent Blair Witch, which is just Blair Witch,
yeah,
is insane.
Yeah,
like it had me sitting in the theater, like looking behind my shoulder and shit because I'm hearing things. It's just like, oh.
See, now that's awesome. I like that. That makes it more of an experience.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, why would you not use that technology if you have it, yeah. You know? Yeah.
That was like one of my favorite parts of fucking Endgame, because you could hear fucking Captain Marvel flying in before you even see her. Yeah. It's just like, yes!
It's little things like that, too, that certain type of people pick up on.
Yeah.
Things take a typical Ernest movie turn when he mistakenly captures the mayor's brats in one of his garbage traps and gets canned. After a moment of dejection, Ernest springs into action, returns to the treehouse, and engages Trantor in full-on combat. Which, they're fighting in the back of his pickup truck.
Right.
Which at this point is driven by his Russell Terrier, Rimshot. Eventually, the chaos makes its way to the school's Halloween party, where the community finally learns the truth from Ernest's claims, and Trantor traps his fifth and final soul.
Dun, dun, dun.
To add insult to injury, he transforms Rimshot into a side of Bark.
No!
Costing Ernest his best friend. It's like that scene in Anchorman.
See, it's like, I can't stand it when dogs get hurt.
I know. Oh, there's a website, though. Do you know that?
Does the dog die? Yeah.
Which is good. As Ernest and the other townsfolk race to the troll's tree, Kenny discovers the ancient tree demon's weakness, milk.
Huh.
Which the whole time they've been trying to figure out, and, like, Ernest has been like, milk, because, like, it was missing a letter. And he's like, what the fuck? Kenny gets some kids together, and they ride their bikes to the local grocery store, and they steal a bunch of Super Soakers and vitamin D milk.
Makes sense.
Back at the treehouse, Trantor's troll pods fall to the ground and sprout his army of cool-looking nasties. The new batch begins to attack the adults who have come in search of their kids, and they are easily handled by the trolls.
Ooh, yeah.
Luckily, Kenny and the gang arrive with their secret weapons. Although you never see them load the milk into the Super Soakers, it's implied.
Oh, okay. Well, I can get that. But...
And the trolls start to fall into piles of goo. Mm. The kids and Ernest, in his many personalities, because he was like Madea before Madea.
Yeah, he really was.
Defeat the troll army, but Trantor has been powering up via demons, and he turns Kenny into wood. Super Trantor is too powerful for milk, but both Hackmore and Ernest figure out the real weakness is unconditional love / the heart of a child. So Ernest smiles, dances with the troll in circles, and kisses him on his snotty mouth.
And rips the heart out of a child.
Oh, okay. A little dark there.
Yeah, okay. Wrong audience.
And then the troll explodes. All of the children who were rendered wooden return to their human form. This includes Old Lady Hackmore's sister and some other old-timey kids, which makes them about 100 years old.
What about the dog?
Of course, Rimshot the dog is now fine, too. All that's left is for Eartha Kitt to peer into the camera and ham it up. Ah, the end.
Which is she's so good at.
She is, man.
Oh.
Beyond the memorable gags and lines, the film also had some great effects to stand up to.
You know, it really did.
Courtesy of the Chiodo brothers of Killer Clowns from Outer Space fame. Trantor and his troll brethren are terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, really fucking well done.
Like, seriously, like, you wouldn't expect...
No, hell like, no.
That level of... I mean, they were fucking scary.
Yeah, like, dude.
I mean, fuck.
Ernest Scared Stupid came out just 3 years after Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which was, of course, the Chiodo brothers' masterpiece.
Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like... It seems like it was, like, way longer.
Yeah, right? Time is fucking weird.
Dude, time is weird.
They designed the various clowns in the film, in addition to writing and directing, and two of those clowns actually ended up being repurposed for Ernest Scared Stupid.
Huh!
Yeah.
I did not know that.
During the film's... most memorable sequence wherein the newly spawned troll babies are running wild, slightly modified versions of the two masks the Chiodo brothers whipped up for Killer Clowns are worn by performers playing the trolls.
That's baller.
Yeah.
That is fucking cool.
Yeah. They basically just, like, pulled the clown nose off and repainted them brown.
That's perfect.
Yeah. In a quote from John Cherry, he says, "What makes a creature scary? The first thing that the creature has... is a single purpose. Nothing on the planet is more valuable to the creature than that one thing he wants. There is no negotiation with the creature. He won't enter into a conversation about anything. Physically, he must be menacing. He swings his arms when he is walking. The pitch of his growl has the ability to stop you in his tracks. And most of all, there is snot.
Yeah, there's a lot of snot.
A lot.
Seriously.
In Jerry's quest for a terrible villain, he shot himself in the foot and later admitted, it turns out the troll was too scary, and it hurt the box office by about $10 million.
Oh, damn.
During his modest gross of $14,143,280 at the U.S. box office, it was the final Ernest picture to be released under the Disney label Touchstone Pictures. All future Ernest films were independently produced, and following the financial failure of the theatrical Ernest rights again, the Ernest films shifted to the straight-to-video market.
Oh, yeah.
You hate to see it.
It's true. Unless it's Steven Seagal, because fuck that guy.
Yeah. It's a weird dude.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah. You know who will never be shifted straight-to-video?
Fucking Facty.
That's Facty, baby.
He's a headliner all day.
Hell yes. Ernest Scared Stupid is the only Ernest movie reviewed by Siskel and Ebert. This is because Ebert never saw an Ernest movie before.
Really?
He got two thumbs down.
Aww. Wah, wah.
The pizzas being thrown at the bullies who try to attack the kids' treehouse are reused props from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Nice.
Many people believe that the meme, the troll face, came from this film.
Oh, when, yeah, that's not true at all.
When Ernest... is about to run over Tantor the troll, he says the line, "How about a bumper sandwich, Booger Lips?" After this, he laughs, and his face is what the troll face is based on.
Hmm.
The emblem on the side of the Briarville police car reads, "Ignoramus ad infinitum." The stats on Rotten Tomatoes are fucking tragic.
They really are.
With a 50% audience score and a 15% tomato meter score. Which just makes me want to do the, how many people want to kick some ass from Jan Silent Bob? I'm like, you motherfucker. And so we close the Book of the Dead on yet another day of Halloween. Join us tomorrow for another frightfully good time.
Frightfully good.
Oh. Until next time, remember...
Oh my, I'm afraid.
And remember, you'll always be a Toys R Us kid.